Welcome back. Our guest this week is Republican Aaron Miller. He's the Republican vice chair of the House Budget Committee. Our lead story, the governor sets off a firestorm with 147 vetoes of Republican spending proposals. On the OTR panel, Shana Roth, Beth LeBlanc, and Emily Lowell. Sit in with us as we get the inside out, off the record.
Production of Off the Record is made possible in part by a grant from Vanguard Public Affairs. With nearly three decades of experience providing strategic counsel to leaders in the public, philanthropic, and private sectors, Vanguard Public Affairs specializes in digital communications, issue management, public affairs, and reputation management services for communities, organizations, and leaders across the Midwest. Information at vanguard-pa.com. And now, this edition of Off the Record with Tim Skubick.
Thank you very much, and welcome back to Off the Record. Well, this week was like drinking water through a fire hose. Would we all agree on that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, budget
yes.
stuff. All right, so Emily, let's start out. Why did the governor veto 147 items?
So the governor, in her words, was, well, I guess not her exact words, but she was trying to make this better. She got this from the legislature without a lot of getting a lot of input in the legislative process. She used two processes available to her. One was vetoing, striking $947 million, as you mentioned. The other one was moving some money around. $600 million got moved around within the departments it was already allocated to.
So she did it because she didn't like the budget that the R sent her.
That's it.
And she was also, I think, trying to shore up some money to put together a supplemental spending bill that she has, you know, a couple days later came forward and is like, hey, here's things that need more money. Let's take all of these vetoes that I've, you know, slashed through the budget. There's, you know, a bunch of money available there. Let's put all that together differently in this supplemental spending bill. And it sounds like that's not going to work.
And I think one of the more interesting parts of this, beforehand, a lot of us were talking about that use of the state administrative board to transfer funds. Mm-hmm. And now, in retrospect, it seems like that's the least controversial move that was made of all of this. I think everybody's looking at those cuts and where those cuts were made, and that's what everyone is talking about.
It's got everybody's attention.
Yeah. Okay. And important to note that the supplemental is kind of the next front of the budget here. The governor, through these powers, could strike funding. She could move around funding to some extent. She could not create line items, and I think that's what she's looking to do in the supplemental.
Did she do this in part to get them back at the table?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds
mm-hmm.
like that was, this was like, hey, we had this deadline, had to get something together. I'm going to create a pot of new money, more or less, so that way we can all come back together and start renegotiating again. And again, it does not look like that's going to work.
Well, she took the edge off of the vetoes in the news conference by telling us all of this stuff is negotiable. Huh? If you want to get it back, let's sit down and talk. What did you think when you heard that?
Well, I mean, I think that's what was expected. I know Senator Shirky said even that morning that, you know, he expected a lot of line item vetoes. I know he said in retrospect it was more than he expected. But, you know, that morning, Senator Shirky said, we're gonna take all those line item vetoes and put them in a supplemental bucket and take them back to the table. And I think now, in order to get back to the table, they're going to have to take, like, a supplemental swimming pool back to the table because there were a lot of vetoes. And it should be interesting to see who comes back to the table or who brings that supplemental bucket back to the table.
Thank you for segueing into the soundbite that I want you all to look at now. Okay, and this is, there's $1 billion sitting out there, and there's some chatter from Mr. Shirky and others about, hey, why don't we give that money back to the taxpayers? Let's take a look at that angle of this story. Are you angry with her?
Not at all.
Are you happy with her?
Well, I'm frustrated for the state of Michigan.
Senate Republicans are frustrated that the governor performed major surgery on their budget that they sent to her last week as she slashed away 147 times at the spending the Republicans desired. And now there is chatter that the Senate Republican leader and perhaps others may want to take some of that $1 billion in budget cuts and send it back to you.
Senator, how serious are you about giving part of that $1 billion in cuts back to the taxpayers?
All options, my friend, are on the table. All options are on the table.
Is that fiscally responsible?
I think it's giving money back to taxpayers. Is that fiscally responsible? I think that if the money is available and not being deployed, I think that is one of the most responsible things we can do.
The governor has heard this chatter too, but she wants to fund many of the state services that she said she had to veto. So as far as giving that money back to you?
Then I'll veto it.
So you would say to the taxpayers, they want to give you $1 billion, but I don't want to give it to you.
I would say to the taxpayers exactly what the cost is for that. They want to close down two prisons. They want to stop monitoring sex offenders and drunk drivers. And that's why I'm not going to have the debate or what they may or may not do.
The governor said if you did that, she'd veto it.
Well, she's been pretty good at that.
So it is against that backdrop that the governor calls in the two Republican leaders and the two Democratic leaders to start work on a supplemental budget bill to restore state services. Last week, Mr. Shirky said he would put those supplemental budget requests in a bucket. And at the time, he left the clear impression that he would work with the governor to iron out their budget differences. But today, he said he never said that.
That's exactly what I said, is that all the light items that she might choose to do, because I didn't know what they would be, would go into a potential supplemental bucket, but I never committed to taking it up.
Which means tomorrow's meeting may not be a budget love fest.
Whoa, come on, when he said that, what did you guys think?
Kind of makes sense. I mean, at the time he was probably thinking she's probably gonna attack some of the things that I really like. But I mean, she went after some really things that were not popular. I mean, getting rid of Pure Michigan, you know, cutting some of the autism funding. These are things that don't look good for her. So why would they come back to the table and try and get these things back when all they have to do is tell their constituents, look, she did this, not us. We were gonna give you the money for it. She said no. They're not really in a position where they feel that they need to negotiate. And what Shirky later said is that if she wants to come forward and say that she made a mistake with her red pen, then maybe they think about it. I mean, they really want her to act contrite on this.
The Senate Majority Leader knows what he's doing here. I mean, he is proposing to give money back at a time when Whitmer is asking for more money. She's looking for additional revenues. And, you know, this is a shot across the bow and a move backward if that's what she's looking to accomplish.
But I think he might have a hard time convincing rural areas of that plan to give back the money. Yesterday I heard from Chippewa County that they're going to have cuts to their road patrols. They're going to have cuts to the payments they receive in lieu of taxes for state-owned property. So a lot of these rural areas are really going to be hurting if this goes through and if there's no supplemental to bridge that gap.
My sense is this is a little bravado right now. I don't get the feeling in the House that there is a stomach to do the billion-dollar give back. Maybe a portion of it. And the governor said, there she goes, you know, I'll veto it, you know, send it to me sort of thing.
It's also a question of how long you want to extend budget season for. Frankly, this has sucked up the oxygen for most of the year in the legislature. You get into supplementals, this could suck up the oxygen for the entire year in the legislature.
I think we're on that guide path to end up there. Okay, we tend to look at stuff as it's happening. I think we need to look at the long term here. I think there's a strategy, Republican strategy, to maybe just mess around with her a little bit. Look, she wants to restore the autism money. She'd like to restore Pure Michigan. They're just not quite ready to let her do that yet.
And I think that's probably what we're looking at, is there's going to be a bit of a cooling down period. Yes. I think everybody needs to, go back to their corners.
Take a deep breath.
Take a deep breath. Think about what happened. Maybe have some coffee talks with their constituents and figure out what are the big things that we actually do need to come back together with and compromise on. But, I mean, after their quadrant meeting, it sounds like they don't really want to talk about budget right now. They don't want to talk about spending. They want to talk about criminal justice reform. They want to talk about health care. They want to talk about policy things. Because let's face it, they haven't done a lot of policy issues for quite a while. And they got a lot of bills out there.
That was a very positive meeting. I think people were apprehensive. I think we were all hoping that somebody would walk out. Okay, you know, it's a half-hour meeting. They stayed in there for 5 minutes. But it was very cordial. Budget came up near the end. She asked for a little help on some of these supplemental things. But it was policy stuff. Let's find something we can cooperate on. Wouldn't that be fun? Isn't that a good strategy?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great strategy. But I think at the end of the day, the general public wants to know what of their programs are being funded or defunded, even though, you know, and it may be a little bit of bravado for Shirky to say the budget is done, but I think the public is still wondering, well, what's happening to Pure Michigan? Are we still going to hear Tim Allen on the radio waves or on our TV? So it's definitely something that they're going to have to come back to. I mean, what they do have in their favor is some national news that might distract a little bit from talks of Michigan's budget, but they're going to have to come back to it eventually, and I don't think it's resolved in the general public's mind.
And once winter's over, everybody's really going to be wondering, why are my roads still garbage? And that's when people are really going to be putting the pressure again on the roads issue. And if they still haven't figured out any sort of long-term road funding plan, I mean, that's going to start looking really bad for Governor Whitmer.
How's the relationship between she and the two Republican leaders?
I mean, I would say frostier than ever. I think that you saw some rhetoric battle between who walked away from the table. She was saying basically this was never a real negotiation. They came with ultimatums. Obviously, Shirky said that she walked away from the table pretty early on. They're each trying to frame that narrative as the other one's fault. And I think that, you know, they've got to move past that if they actually do want to do a supplemental or get some policy accomplished this year.
Mr. Shirky the other day conceded this was part of the game. Remember when he said that?
Oh, they've been saying that all the while. They're like, this is all part of the game. Our negotiations, we're going to do this. She's going to do that. She's going to walk away. We're going to do this. They've always said that it's all part of the game. I feel like at some point, though, we got to realize that we are playing a game with different rules at this point.
And well, I think they're going to restore some of these cuts long term. Don't you all?
Meh.
Huh? I don't hear it.
Know.
I didn't hear unanimous vote on the other side of the table here. Huh? Have I got this wrong?
Hard to say. I mean, anyone could stick to a hard line here, and I think you could tank it in a lot of different ways.
Nope. I think before the end of the year, this year, okay. I think they get a supplemental and they restore some of this money. But she certainly got everybody's attention. What was the most onerous thing in there?
Onerous in terms of a veto?
No, that people said, oh my God. She vetoed that?
Oh, the autism funding.
Yeah.
I think definitely the money that was going toward the Autism Navigator, a program through Autism Alliance, when that was vetoed, there were a lot of people scratching their heads about why that was included.
There were other things she could have done, people are saying. Why that one? But it certainly did get people's attention. Vaping. They took the stuff off the shelves this week. What happened?
They did. So that is something that's sort of been a thing in Michigan getting national attention, as Governor Whitmer a while ago announced that we're going to end the sale of flavored vaping products. The official rules came out and it gave shops 2 weeks to pull all of these flavored products off of their shelves. And the reason that she gave is this is a national health crisis for our children. This is an emergency and they're getting hooked because of all the flavored vapes. So we got to get them off the shelves. And shop owners are mad. They've filed lawsuits and they're essentially saying, look, this is a vast majority of my inventory. If you're telling me I can't sell it, I can't work or I can't be open.
So are they saying there is no linkage between flavored vaping and the lung diseases that we have people in the hospital and dying?
I think there's kind of this dichotomy between vape advocates arguing for adults, saying that it helps people quit traditional cigarettes, which we all know are bad for you, and vaping's, you know, the concerns about vaping are less clear. And then there's this youth angle of, you know, kids who have never smoked cigarettes, people are saying, are getting enticed into nicotine because of these flavored products. So that's kind of the battle that was playing out in a House hearing earlier this month, and is kind of setting up some of these court arguments as well. Although I will say the efforts to get a temporary restraining order to stop the sale in both state and federal court, stop this ban from going into effect, have not been successful. So it is in effect right now.
She believes there is linkage. She says if you look at the scientific data, if you do a deep dive in there, it's there. But the other side, the people who want to sell this stuff are saying, no, they haven't proven it yet. So we have that debate going on.
Well, and I think also there are some shop owners who are arguing, look, we just put a law in place that made this illegal for youth to vape. Why don't we give it some time to take effect? So there's also that argument at play as well.
But she has said we don't have the time. Our kids are at risk right now.
But then the shop owners are also being like, look, these are adults and products for adults. Why aren't we letting the adults have these products? I think where she's going to struggle in court is that linkage between if we ban it for adult, you know, for everybody, that's not helping necessarily children. And the other thing is like, well, what about alcohol? Are we next going to ban flavored alcohol, which could also be considered to be an enticement to children who are drinking?
All right. Speaking of adults, let's call in the adult on the House Appropriations Committee.
Representative Aaron Miller of Sturgis is the Republican Vice Chair of the House Appropriations Committee, chairing the K-12 budget, and he serves on transportation. He is in his third term in the House and was a math teacher before entering politics. He holds a poli-sci degree from Western University and a master's in education from Bethel College.
So, Representative, you had fun this week?
It's been a great time this week. Great time to be alive.
Great. Let's see what Beth's got to ask.
So on that note, what needs to be walked back in order for Republicans to come back to the table with Governor Whitmer?
Oh, boy. That's a loaded question. There's a lot that could or maybe should happen in the next month or two. I think a lot of the cuts that were made in the line item vetoes are maybe a pain or an annoyance. I differ with you guys a little bit in that I think rural hospital funding, you're talking about something that's not fun and games anymore. You're talking about people's lives. Three Rivers Hospital is one example of a hospital that receives rural hospital funding that, you know, our CEO said yesterday, because he's starting to ring the alarm bells, this is not a game, this is an emergency, and we could be out if we don't get our December payment, we could be closing our doors. So a lot needs to happen, I think, to get Republicans back at the table. I would say, are there strings attached to it? Are you going to use the ad board again? And then if I get good answers to those questions, then let's talk.
So has there been a breakdown of trust? I mean, you're saying that you're worried that she's going to, if you give her the money, she's going to move it around. So is there a trust
absolutely.
Issue?
Oh, absolutely. How can I, as a legislator, say from the appropriations process, yeah, we're going to undo some of these vetoes. Let's say we do in a supplemental. Who am I to believe that she's not going to use that ad board strategy again and move the money wherever she wants? In that case, we're signing budgets that essentially have dollar figures, and here you go. We send it off, and we don't run any line items anymore. It's just done by the ad board.
But you got to do another budget at some point. I mean, we got another fiscal year, so then what happens then?
Correct. There's the question about next year and then about the circle of trust. And I saw in the news this week it was asked about trust, and I don't think there's a lot of trust right now. I think a frosty relationship is a pretty accurate description.
What's the most egregious veto in your mind?
That's what I meant, is the rural hospital funding is egregious as far as maybe not in the public sphere. It's not maybe not going to get the most press. Autism, I think, is probably going to get the most press. Rural hospital funding, though, isn't games anymore. It deals with people's lives. It deals with health care in areas where Medicaid rates are too high to make money. That's the health care problem across this nation right now. And so this isn't a game.
So if that is an immediate problem, why not deal with the supplemental yesterday?
If there are no strings attached, I think I'm all in as far as, did you make a mistake? Did you mean to veto rural hospital funding and autism? If that was a mistake, let's do a supplemental with those and with no strings attached, and then I'm all ears.
So she has to come crawling back to the table, admitting she made a mistake in order to get your yes vote on a supplemental?
I don't think she has to make a mistake. I think the public is seeing that right now, in my opinion. I've talked to a few people. It's still early, but I'm getting mixed early reactions as far as which line items people are responding to. And a former hospital official I talked to the other day, just at a dinner, said she did what? And people are starting to have it sink in what she vetoed. And once that starts sinking in on some of this money, Pure Michigan, yeah, that's a pain. That's an annoyance. It hits some restaurant owners, let's say with my guys up north, that hits them hard. But something like rural hospital funding, oh, that gets people mad. So I don't think she has to say anything. But if she wants to come back on some of these line items, let's talk.
So you mentioned some worries about her use of the ad board
and
continued use of it. Do you think it was wrong for John Engler to use it in the 90s?
I don't think it was good for either governor to use, but it's in the law. That's kind of beside the point. This was from what I've heard from a lot of people, I was 4 years old at the time, but from what I've heard from a lot of people, it was a John Engler-esque move. And right or wrong, I say they're probably both wrong, but right or wrong, it exists and it's there.
She took a deep dive into your K-12 budget too, to the tune of $128 million. What did you think when you read that?
So there are line items that I have mixed feelings on, and of course it's all a process, and some of those things have been there for a few years, but that doesn't mean Aaron Miller loves all of them. And I was purposeful about my comments the other day in the press about, look, if this is going to go elsewhere in education, if this is going to go into the classroom, I think that's a fine thing. And I don't think it's the end of the world with some of the school aid cuts.
Do you agree that some of those school aid cuts were pork?
To a degree, I think that something like Algebra Nation, for instance, I've heard from schools already who are using Algebra Nation say, wait a second, that was a really good program. We don't want that cut. And she referred to that kind of as the flagship pork item. I don't think that's pork. Is it a company running it? Yes, absolutely. But I think they're still doing a good product. Doesn't mean that I'm all gung-ho about keeping it in. I'm just saying that it's not necessarily pork. You could have something with great educational value that a company is doing. Doesn't mean it's pork.
Well, she said a lot of that was aimed toward corporate people that were making money off. You heard that, right?
That's a talking point, in my opinion. I think that everybody's making money off of education. I mean, when you talk about putting money in the classroom, you're talking about teacher pay. So there are companies that put together tests that test students for the Department of Education. There are always companies involved in everything. There are companies all over in the state budget. Whether that's a corporate pork, that's up for debate. And I will admit that there's plenty of corporate pork in the budget from time to time, but that doesn't mean that everything that a company's doing is pork.
So a little bit of pork is okay.
No, I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just saying it has existed. And to that note, I think you've got plenty of Republicans, ones I've talked to and I hang out with, that for some of these line items say bye-bye. They're glad to see them off. And I think some of the pork, so to speak, is some of those items that they're glad to see off.
Are you in favor of a rebate with all that money?
I realize that there is not just $1 billion of frivolous spending that's on the table. So are we going to do a tax cut of $1 billion? I don't want to. Could we? I've always said, when I voted for the income tax bill, I've always said this could be done much leaner. Last year's supplemental, you guys all remember, we had a heavy load of, it was pork from both sides. It was heavy with, there was a playground in Oakland County that I looked at in the budget, and I said, I don't care Republican or Democrat, that shouldn't be there. So there's plenty we could rebate to the taxpayers, but it's all an opinion of what is expendable in the budget. And that is a debate of 148 legislators and a governor, of course.
What did you see in what was vetoed that you think the state could do without?
Well, I'll use one example that has come up quite a bit. In the state police budget, which I'm back on now this year, MIS funding draws a lot of debate. And it's in the state police budget, and there's more talk about MIS funding that's $600,000 in this budget than there is about the entire rest of the state police budget, which is kind of funny, given that public safety is a big deal. Yet MIS funding is one where I think, that's right next to Leader Shirky's district. It's in his old house district. It's in Cambridge Township. I've been there. I've seen the off-campus policing. And I think the governor thought, let's hit Leader Shirky where it hurts. And if that's the case, she doesn't know my Senate Majority Leader as well as I do. I don't think Leader Shirky is going to look at that at all as a personal affront. I think some people are going to be glad to see that off.
So you think it's dead?
We'll see. That's the big question mark. I think some people would like to see it back. Maybe it'll come back. It all depends on what the discussions are like in the next month.
She also sent a message to the charter schools. Did you hear that one?
Oh, yeah, I've heard it. I don't have any charter schools in my district, but I've heard the talk. Well, I've heard the response loud and clear. Kids are not a game. These are minority kids, poor kids in poor districts, in mostly Democratic districts. And kids are not games, nor are they pawns, or should they be funded differently? And I've heard that loud and clear from the charter community. I think they have a good point.
You're friends with Mr. Upton, I assume.
Yes, sir.
Did you hear his remarks this week about looking into impeachment?
I didn't read his official remarks regarding impeachment. I've talked with Fred a couple times about this and that, and I've seen his previous remarks. That's obviously a big debate going on right now. We could talk about the budget for 4 days and impeachment for five.
Well, are you in favor of it?
I'm not in favor of impeachment. I've heard Democrats even say that, look, if we take up impeachment, even if there are impeachable offenses, the election's a year away, a year and a number of days. and it's just going to be a show until then, and it would take until then anyway to get it done. So, no, I'm not in favor.
But if that's the reason, I mean, then do you not feel that if our president has committed impeachable offenses, that he shouldn't be held accountable for them, even if there's an election a year away?
I do not follow the federal, the back and forth, because I'd be spending all my time on that. I don't follow it enough to make a decision on are there impeachable offenses? Are there things that the president has done that I think are sick and terrible? Absolutely. And I'll say that honestly. Whether that rises to an impeachable offense kind of harkens back to a discussion we had in the House of should somebody be expelled? Well, it's up to us. There is no standard. There is no standard or rubric for what you should expel for, what you should impeach for. Kind of harkens back to that argument.
All right, so we did quickly. We're going to do overtime. We're going to talk about the licensing of the counselors. You game for
that? Absolutely.
Okay, and quickly, were you a strong Trump supporter, or do you have somebody else first in mind?
I was a Scott Walker supporter, and then after that,
Bush
probably felt, I don't know,
you
Bush,
went through
maybe
everybody
Rubio.
And finally ended up with Trump.
Trump would have been my last one at the time, if I'm answering honestly, and I told people at my county fair, listen, he's not going to be the nominee. This is all a game. This vote is fake. I don't think this is going to happen. And then as people filed past one by one saying, Trump, I kind of realized this isn't fake. But he would have been my last choice at the time.
Representative, hang on. We'll be right back after the close credits.
Production of Off the Record is made possible in part by a grant from Vanguard Public Affairs. With nearly three decades of experience providing strategic counsel to leaders in the public, philanthropic, and private sectors, Vanguard Public Affairs specializes in digital communications, issue management, public affairs, and reputation management services for communities, organizations, and leaders across the Midwest. Information at vanguard-pa.com. For more Off the Record, visit wkar.org. Michigan Public Television stations have contributed to the production costs of Off the Record with Tim Skubick.